Hi, everyone, and welcome to the debut episode of the new On the Record podcast. We didn't get a chance to do a formal introduction during the recording, but in this episode, we sit down with New Brunswick rapper Flocko Finesse, coming off the release of his debut album, Backyard Living, to talk about his recent releases, representing Eastern Canada, and what's coming up next for him in the scene out of New Brunswick. Hope you enjoy.
Did you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Flocko Finesse. I'm a Mi'kmaq artist from Pavano First Nation in New Brunswick, putting on for the 506. Yeah, and that's about it, Brick God.
Yeah, you just dropped your debut album. You want to talk about a little bit about that? Just give the let the people know what's up with that.
Yeah, I just dropped my debut album, Backyard Living, back in July, and I just dropped the deluxe edition. It's going to be hitting all streaming services this week, because DistroKid don't upload on the weekends, man. But yeah, this shit really doing good. I put out a bunch of singles for it, and I've been wanting to put out this project since I was 14. I kept remaking it until now, and now's the perfect time to put it out. And yeah, man, I'm loving the feedback from it, and all the people that came in out worked on the deluxe and the original, man. It's just so dope, everybody working together, collaborating, putting on really for like these small time artists out here in Canada.
Hell yeah. Yeah, and it's really glad to see like your progress throughout the years, like with all like the singles and up until now. It's just like you keep on getting better and better, and this is your height, and I'm sure you'll keep bringing up that bar for yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all about just working on new shit and just like thinking of new ideas to push this, because we're seeing the same stuff being done over and over, and it's not gonna work for everyone. The artist game flooded, you know what I mean? You gotta do some different stuff and really show people like who you are as an artist, man. No, I know Boom do that, man. Boom.
yeah, absolutely. So you said you've been working on the album since you were 14.
Yeah, man. I came up with the concept Backyard Living. I have a few cover arts from back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was always just gonna be my debut. It was gonna be like the one that's gonna pop off, like. Like, as, like, going to another level as an artist.
For sure. Did it sound the same, like, when you started working on it, has it changed completely, or was there some things that you kind of kept from when you were 14, or is it just completely different?
I kept, like, the boom bap vibe, like, very much. Like, I've always been a boom bap rapper, but only lately I kind of got into, like, last 2 years I got into the singing and more club-style stuff. So everything you hear on the album that's more of that vibe would be from in the last 2 years. I would more get into that vibe as an artist. But before that was all boom bap, because I just grew up on Tupac and, like, Jadakiss and, like Clips and, like, Outkast. Like, I was just, like, on all that old school vibe, you know?
For sure. Yeah. It's good stuff.
No, that was like, that was all my inspirations then. And then I started getting into like the trap music around 2014, 2015, when trap really started popping off and Young Thug came out and that's when I started like feeling more of the party stuff. But like, you know, wasn't really into it. I still wanted to keep my boom bap roots, but then like maybe last 2 years I'd say for sure I've gotten into like expanding like what I can do as an artist.
Yeah, I mean, like you say that you're influenced by like the old stuff, and you've recently been influenced by the trap, but like you've like all your samples and stuff, there's a lot of different stuff you're taking from, like my favorite song with that gospel beat and everything, like
That's also with hip-hop, right? Like with Kanye West all these different artists, they're always incorporating these different, like Freddie Gibbs especially too, with working with Madlib and The Alchemist. These producers pull out these samples out of like nowhere. Like you haven't heard most of these, and it's really awesome when they can do that, and it can also add to the story of the song, you know.
For sure.
So,
yeah. And the sky's the limit with everything on the internet. You can find samples off anything. I get my samples off of what's it called, Splice, and but like okay. you can get it off like YouTube or anything, and literally yeah. make anything, and it's that's the glory of the internet these days.
Yeah, there's just so much out there, and it's not really like copyright issues or that, because a lot of it's just like free videos anyway that like are just memes or whatever.
Yeah. yeah.
No, I love it. Yeah, I always go sample digging. Even though I don't produce, I'm like, I find samples and then I'll send them out to producers and be like, yo, let's like put something like with this inside of it.
Yeah. Would you ever consider doing like producing for yourself or for anyone else, or are you just sticking with the samples?
I think I'm more like, I want to get to the point where I can like have an orchestra and like kind of like be the guy in the front, like telling everybody, like, so we can make like a like crazy music, like just orchestra music, but like have like featuring Chief Keef and Flocko and like just like some crazy stuff.
That sounds fucking wild.
And like John Mayer and like.
Holy shit. That'd be awesome. Eventually, man, you'll get there.
Yeah, that's like really, man. Like I've tried to do some production since I was like 10 years old, but I can't really get myself involved with that. But I can write and I can hear sounds like already in my head. I can make up a beat, but I just can't make it yet.
Yeah, I mean, all you need is a drive and a good team, and then you're pretty much set. You know?
Yeah, man. A lot of good producers, a lot of good like people that play instruments and that, man. A lot crazy, like especially here too in the 506 in Canada. Like it, a lot of in town.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you always mention in a lot of your work like the 506 and repping like New Brunswick. Would yeah. you say that like the where you've grown up and the culture you grew up in, like how much is it? Do you think it's influenced the music you're making now?
That's definitely influenced the music I'm making now, because like basically my uncle was Red Sugar and he was from Bathurst here, and he really put on for Bathurst, and that was back when I was born. I would have been just a baby. Right. And like he was like one of the first like rappers in Bathurst and really putting that movement inside of here. And he was doing shows at like the stadium we got here at the what do you call it, the Casey Irving there. I don't know what you would call it. It's just some building there where people perform and play hockey and that. But yeah, he was doing shows there. And then as growing up, my cousin Tristan got into music as well, Wolfcastle. Around the same time, we both started really getting into music, because we were always just doing features here and there on my uncle's stuff whenever he'd come home and make music in the basement. But we never take it too serious until well, that 13, 14 age mark for me, until we started really making stuff. And I went through so many different names, like, but Flocko Finesse now to one, like, I won't keep this one and that. Mm-hmm. But 506 definitely influenced my sound, because basically my family was putting on for New Brunswick in the rap scene. And that really influenced me, and that one made me do the same thing for this province and for Bathurst and for my home, Abino, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I find it seems like the Maritimes, especially when you like when people think about Canadian culture, they're like very underrepresented, you know?
Yeah, because people don't think a lot of music would come from here. It's basically a lot of fisheries, and it's basically a lot of just work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, people just come here and they just work in, or if they can't find any work, then they go move out west. It's just not very much going on here, but we're gonna change that, because it's a real drive in the youth, and there's a lot of us like that just want to like break that like system and just be able to show that we can do anything no matter where we're coming from. Like,
and
you don't gotta be in Cali, you don't gotta be in New York, you don't, you know,
you just need the drive. And I've noticed that like even since when I left, like it just kept on growing and growing. And
yeah,
it's really good to see even through the generations, there's more young people becoming more fascinated with being a part of a scene. And once you got younger generations' attention on some sort of scene, that's when shit starts blowing up. So I think you are definitely almost responsible for a great deal of what's happening in Bathurst and starting up sort of almost like culty vibes of a scene.
Yeah, man. I mean, we all just working together. There's new ones coming out like every like couple months. We got a few new boys that want to start rapping. We just like help them out. I got a stool here. I tell them that they can come over and record and just have a good vibe. We make stuff because not all these boys have mics in that either, right? Or even know how to record.
Yeah.
So we just pull up and we get the vibes going because that shouldn't, you know, I mean, money and that shouldn't stop. Your artistry never stopped me. So
yeah, and once people get access to that kind of equipment that they otherwise wouldn't be able to have access to, that's when like you can really find people's creativity that wouldn't be heard otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's really what it is, man. Yeah,
becomes a really dangerous weapon.
Yeah, you're arming the young people with a voice.
It's really inspiring to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm planning to get an Airbnb at the end of this month here in Bathurst, not too far out. And I'm going to set up the studio and get a bunch of artists to come with their equipment, set up studios. And like for 4 days, man, we just going to make music videos, vibe, like just see how that, like when you put a bunch of creators in one place, how like what can come out of it. You got a bunch of producers, rappers, singers, artists, filmers, like anything that anybody want to do, they can come do, you know?
Yeah, and I personally don't think it really matters on like how much quote-unquote talent an artist has, like as long as you got someone manning the ship with a vision, you can like pull out crazy shit out of anyone, really.
Yeah, man, it's right next to a river too, so it's gonna be nice vibes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you need the vibe too.
Yeah.
So yeah. Where would you see like in a perfect world, like the 506 heading, like in a perfect world, what would you want to see happen to it?
I would like to see more eyes on us, and basically not us having to move out to these places, like show, like bring some like economy and bring some like views over to New Brunswick and the 506, kind of switch up the whole mindset, you know what I mean? Show that there's actually dopeness going on here and that we can actually make it happen, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I want like these rappers wanting to come out here and work in my stool, like right here in Pavano, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, make your own label and everything.
Yeah, Brick God Records, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, especially with the internet too. Like that shit is so much more possible than ever, because it doesn't matter where you are now, as long as you're getting stuff out there, it could happen anywhere, you know?
Facts. Me and Bloom make music. Franz, F2F, he live all the way out in Germany, man. Like yeah. We still making music, like yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like you can get those worldwide connections now. You barely have to leave your house.
Yeah, really, like quarantine wasn't too hard for me. I've been quarantined for the last year, basically.
Yeah. Seems like quarantine has only made you stronger in productivity.
Gave me a reason to stay in, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since we mentioned quarantine, just like what I guess you've just been, it seems like you've just been filling your quarantine with making music, right? Like just making as much as possible.
And I used to like try to do some stuff like only drop certain music, like if I get certain amount of views or whatever. But I said like none of that's gonna help. Like you see Suicide Boys, you see all these artists, they got so much music out by the time they're popular. They got like thousands of songs out, and that's what like one of those songs is gonna hit. So I started just making a bunch of music, catching my vibes, and just putting them out like right away when I want, as I want.
So just and, like throwing really everything helping. At a wall and see what sticks, really.
Yeah, man, because like I make like I probably since quarantine, I've probably got about 300 like unfinished songs. And then like
believe it with the vault and everything, that fucking blew my mind.
The vault too was a lot of just old stuff too, man. Like the vault too going to be coming in early 2021.
Wow. Amazing, man.
Yeah, we've been seeing, especially lately, you've been like crazy prolific, just like project after project.
Yeah, I'm already working on the next big album there, and it's gonna be this one gonna be big, man, because I'm not supposed to say too much there, but I mean I'm like whatever, there's gonna be a documentary with it.
Oh shit.
Hey, wow.
Yeah. We're gonna put on for a 506, man. We're gonna try to get down some streaming services too, like Hulu or something.
Wow.
See, get some film festivals. Make it real bougie there.
Are you doing that yourself, or are you doing that with anyone else?
I'm gonna be doing it all myself, man, and the iPhone, you know. We're gonna be, yeah, gonna make it work.
Yeah, man.
I'm planning it out. I'm doing some writing there to plan it all out. And yeah, man, it's gonna be crazy. This album. Gonna have some merch going with it too. We're really leveling up. It's called Pressure Makes Diamonds.
All right.
Gonna be announcing that soon.
I say it's a world first. Well,
you technically already announced it right now. So.
Yeah, there you go.
yeah.
Only the realist fans get to hear
it. I was going to be putting it up this week there, but anybody listening right now, get a little sneak peek, you know?
Sick.
Yeah, we'll be, this will be coming out later this week too, so it'll be perfect timing.
Oh, then perfect, yeah. Nice. Pressure makes diamonds.
Hell yeah. Yeah, switching gears a bit, we just wanted to bring it back. Probably, what was it, like a little over a month or two now, made a track with Bloom called Don't Come For Me.
And man, we really went off on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up a bit and kind of, I think, like, lyrically the meaning is pretty clear, I think.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to see, like, if you had any more insight as to, like, what the intention was behind that song, if you could talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that song was made during, like, the height of these protests and that, when it was, like, all you saw on social media and more people were just talking about it. Like, it's kind of died down, but, like, people in my circle now, we're still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we had a lot of anger, and we had a lot of, like, just a message, like, just all sorts of emotions to, like, put out. And we as artists, like, we tend to put that of energy out through our music, get those messages out. And I think it was really something that had to be said, because I've definitely, as an Indigenous person, I've definitely faced things with the law, and my family has definitely faced things with the law that was totally not in the eyes of justice and was totally not beneficial to us, and just upright racist and hateful. And like, growing up with that anger, I always made a few decisions that would not be right. But using music as my outlet seems to really be, like, helping with getting through that message and working through these emotions, and definitely talking with people, and just really conversation and music and art can really just help with finding the true, like, meaning to what you're talking about, and finding the true meaning in your emotions and messages, you know?
Yeah, like words beyond words, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to, like, talk about that single, like, as soon as the single came out, but I think it's good that we've sort of, we're talking about it, like, about, like, a month later or so.
Yeah.
Just to keep, you know, the conversation going, and not just make it some sort of like public stunt and one and done sort of thing. And I'm glad other people are still talking about it too.
Yeah, and we continue in that message too. I mean, we're gonna still be talking about it, because this is what our life is, right?
Absolutely.
This is what we're facing every day. So it's not a privilege to just go, we don't got the privilege to just go out and not face no hatred every day, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
So this is what we live in. This is the message we're gonna keep pushing till things change, man, you know?
Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what you need to do, really, at the end of the day. Kind of related to that, you've been sharing a ton of stuff on social media. Like, especially, like, I've seen you've been posting a few things about, like, different books and stuff you've been checking out on the subjects.
Yeah, definitely. I got a lot more time to read books now. So, yeah, and I also work at a library for the summer. I'm a librarian up in Bracken. Yeah, crazy, huh?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Must be pretty peaceful.
Yeah, no, and I just get, like, all these books, and I'm just reading them, too, while I'm at work, and it's just crazy, like, the knowledge you can get from just reading, like, these, like, pieces of literature are just crazy. Some of them, like, stuff you can't get on the internet, like you know what I mean, like messages that are told in certain ways that just like really click.
Yeah.
Are there any particular ones you've read recently that you think like you think people should be checking out?
I definitely think people should check out A Million Little Pieces. I forget who the author is, but it's basically a book about addiction. It's a memoir. It's about a guy that goes to a rehab center. But even if you've never faced addiction, it really tells you things about life. And if you ever really come along with someone that faces like troubles with addiction, it'll be able to tell you how to kind of help them in like a good way, instead of just like locking these people up or just leaving them out on the street or leaving them out with nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Other than that, 3 Day Road by Joseph Boyden. He's an indigenous writer. He's really good. And any work from Leroy Little Bear. He's man, he's, if you want to learn all about indigenous like point of views and like natural law, like this guy is crazy. Like he really like boils it down to a T. Like he knows what he's talking about. He's from Lethbridge, Alberta. So yeah.
Oh, cool.
Cool. Yeah. So yeah, people. Hopefully, the people will take those suggestions and check them out and learn a little more about some knowledge you might not be able to find out anywhere else.
Yeah, so, and talk about the popo, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just gonna say, sorry about the city ambience.
Yeah, we're right on one of the major streets in Toronto, so we get a lot of traffic.
Yeah,
I'll be seeing whatever happened on Sixth Wars after there.
Is there anything you wanted to say before we get to the like sort of shoot the shit segment? I don't know if that'll how long I'll did, but is there anything generally you want to say about your art or?
I just want to say that we're going to keep moving up. We're going to keep giving opportunities out to people. I'm working with more people. I want to expand. You know, if I take the 506, I got the 506 and I got everybody working with me. Mm-hmm. I want to try to get some other artists from like outside, like from the States and that, to also kind of work with me and some other artists like on music, so we can really get moving other cities too and get those eyes, you know. And they say, oh, who's these boys working, where are they from? Like, oh, that's crazy, you know, they're from Canada, little east side Canada.
You're the connections god, essentially. Yeah. Just constantly connecting the people. Like,
I'm a social butterfly, man. Like,
and the truest and form,
I've been doing this rap stuff, like even just being involved like with rap culture online since I was like 8-9 years old.
Yeah.
So really getting these connections and that has been, it takes like time to work on being able to master a lot of these things. And I still have a lot of work doing. I'm learning things every single day. And it's like kind of like helpful for me to use my knowledge with other artists. So then they can like advance, but then they also come up with some crazy stuff that I never thought about. And then like, boom, these are new marketing strategies that we can all use, because we all moving as a unit. The 506 is like basically a collective, but like not like, you know what I mean? Not like a Wu-Tang Clan or that, but like Odd Future in a sense. Everybody got their name, everybody doing their own prod, you know?
It's more of like a collective group of everyone doing their own thing.
Yeah, and we're going to probably do a collective album. I want to get a 506 album going.
That would be sick, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of younger artists can really learn from you, because myself included, because I think this day and age, the most important part about being a musician or any sort of artist is the connections more than anything, really.
Yeah, man, populist music in that, man. Y'all been really, like, putting on for people, and you can see that you take it serious. Like, it's not just bullshit posts and that be going up. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. They formatted well. Like, they're talking about something. Like, it's, like, it's really dope, man, like, what y'all doing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's the...
If you say so. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's the... That's really the goal at the end of the day, too, is it's... kind of like what you've been talking about, like giving young artists who like have that, like that level, that it factor, the talent, but don't know how to navigate all the like all the business stuff, you know, that's when you need people to help these people out, you know?
And it doesn't matter how like good you are at the music. If no one's hearing it, then like, it's not gonna fly.
And music's something you can get better at. It's not like if you can't sing, you're stuck in not being able to sing. Like
it's
you can work at it. Like, I never thought I could sing, but now like I'm also working on a country cover album. Like what? Like
just to do anything, put in the work and
yeah, exactly.
Who cares what other people think, right?
Yeah, you just keep growing, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, I've had songs in the past. Like, if I was really to go down to like my songs I made when I was 12 or that day, they were awful, man.
But it's good to see that you've grown from it, right?
Yeah, even as early as like Swiffer Jet, man, that song to me is awful. Like, but like, that's my biggest one. Like,
I fucking remember when that came out. Like the day it came out,
it was quite an crazy experience. That shit took off around here though, man. Like that was everywhere. Like I went to Nova Scotia for school this year and like I met people that knew me, like, oh, you the Swiffer Jet guy, like what? Like wow. I guess wow. Like
yeah, it really goes to show you can't really control what really really hits.
No, and it's like when you make some dumb shit like that, like it's probably gonna hit. Like it's.
At least you had fun doing it anyway, right?
Yeah, man. It's like not something you can force. Like you can't just sit down and like I freestyled that whole song like made in 5 minutes, like, and then like took off to go like sesh. Like
it always seems to be the shit you least expect, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was coming off the bus and I was listening there was a Nicki Minaj verse. She says, pussy wet, Swiffer Jet. I Want to Be With You by DJ Khaled featuring Nicki Minaj and Future. I was listening to that and I heard pussy wet, Swiffer Jet. And then I started like,
you got your fucking rocks off to that.
Yeah, anyway. It's like fucking
mind blown.
It's crazy, man. But I wasn't always in the greatest state of mind back then. But yeah. So how y'all doing, man? How's everything out there?
Oh, questions for us.
Yeah, man. I want to know how y'all doing too, man.
Where do we begin? Well, Josh just came back from his family after a month.
Yeah, I was up in the hometown for about 6 weeks visiting family, visiting my girlfriend, you know.
Just got nice. Back to Toronto. Yeah, touching base.
Yeah, finally just getting back to work, you know, finally now that I'm back down here.
Yeah, man, that's what's up.
And I've been stuck here ever since. I think out of both of us, I've been in Toronto the longest. Not exactly willingly, but
yeah, you just haven't been able to leave yet.
Yeah.
This COVID stuff's crazy, man. We got so many different things happening this year.
No shit. That, yeah, it's like,
it's a new adventure every like week.
Yeah.
I don't think we should forget about World War III either. There, back in January, yeah. That's gonna come back and bite us in the ass.
That feels like a decade ago now.
Yeah, man. Like this stuff used to like it feels like stuff nowadays though just come through like memes. Like they last like 6 days, and then there's something new to like put the media all over.
Yeah, like fucking, it's pretty bad when World War III was like a fucking meme, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, pretty bad that World War III was like. Is now something we can look back on and laugh.
Yeah, we're like,
whatever. Yeah. It was just a big global scare.
About war no more either, right? Like, we're not about that. Like,
that's true.
You know, we don't want that shit because it does more damage than it does, like, anything. Like, the past has shown us.
I think this year is really showing that, like, the young people are just, we're just fucking sick of it, you know?
Yeah.
Just of everything.
Every way possible.
Yeah.
And I guess we were like showing like the like all the time that we were sick of it. Like even with the environmental stuff just happening last year.
Absolutely.
And that. But now the voices seem like so much is happening. And now the voices are getting louder and louder. And more people are agreeing. More people are supporting. And because like I went to high school, man. Like, I talked about Trayvon Martin and Eric Gardner inside of my one of my classrooms in grade 12. And, like, 16 of those kids, that's the first time they even heard about
it's like that.
And I was like, whoa, like, wow. Yeah. Okay. I even shined light on Black Lives Matter because that's been a movement even since, like, 2015.
Yeah.
And that was the first time they even heard about that. And now, it's been everywhere, and now people see it. Now people know what it's about, and there's a lot more information and knowledge being shared about it, and more people getting on board, because that's what we need, everybody to get on board, because the hate not gonna last.
Shit can't get swept underneath the couch anymore, and it took like a fucking global pandemic just for people to sit down and shut up and listen to what we have to say and what we're sick of, you know?
Yeah, man, and we're gonna get louder. That's what I'm saying. We're gonna get louder.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what it's gotta happen sometimes, you know?
And shit never got resolved with anything peaceful, you know?
Yeah. Can't just like lay down and expect things to get better.
Yep.
No, especially in a system like this when elitism exists and it's just everything's in favor for that one group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you got to just think outside the system, and the youth is creative. They're thinking outside the box. Like, and they got a lot of good leaders too, like, and the adults too, a lot of people helping us with knowledge and learning and how to do this the right way.
Absolutely. People are getting really creative. My favorite, I don't want to say my favorite part is the protest, because it's like, it's not a great thing that it's happening, but it's something that's necessary. But I do enjoy the videos of people getting smart with the military and shooting the tear gas back at them with leaf blowers and shit.
That's crazy that they even have to be in that situation too.
I'm glad it's sort of like it's very inspiring to see people pulling through.
And they won't stand down, you know, and they won't get back up. They're gonna keep fighting.
And it's very comedic to see that getting blown back literally in the military and the police's face. So,
and it's crazy. This is all happening at the end of Trump's, like...
It really culminated up until the very end. And hopefully this is
the end,
Because even still in 2016, like, a lot of the general public, like, just thought of Donald Trump as a businessman and didn't really think of all this, like... child sex trafficking and racism and
no one fucking knew, man. Violence. There wasn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Now people are reading between the lines and learning what they deserve, and everyone else is getting what they deserve, you know?
And like I'll always say, like, business and politics does not mix well. Like, you can't lead and also be a businessman. Like, there's two different drives in that thing.
Exactly. It's scary to think that in American politics, if you have enough money, any fucking asshole can just walk up and be like, "Hey, I want to lead the fucking free world." You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's great. Like, with like, especially in the music industry, for like just artists being able to now upload things to like streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
So. Like, they can kind of get in touch with business just from a young age.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it is something good to have, but they can, like, kind of learn from a young age through it all to learn also how to lead as they're growing up, so they can have the two and be able to survive, but also have a good message or have a good intent with the art that they're using, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully the kids use that for, like, you know, for good and everything, that knowledge, and not get it twisted and everything. And there's a lot of fake news out there too, so
a lot of fake scary news, man.
It's really scary. You don't know what to think.
That's why I like to try to share, like, I fact check everything that I read before I posted, and that way if you share it, then people are getting the right message. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's really teaching people to, like, think critically about the stuff they're reading too, and like really think, like, is this true, you know, instead of just blindly trusting shit.
Even in books too, like, there's fake news in books, and there always has been. Even with history books, I mean, the history is written by the victors and everything, so
yeah, it's basically written by the one it's written by the colonizers, a lot of a lot of this history, and it's from a Western perspective.
Mm-hmm. I've been
very Westernized.
Yeah, I've been trying my best to like listen to podcasts that are like, quote unquote alternate history, where it's like it's not just a Eurocentric fucking history,
yeah.
Because you know it's Europeans didn't do everything right,
yeah.
So I'm just trying to I'm trying to get my knowledge not from the basic school
yeah.
district history lessons, right?
And that's crazy, man, that like we're doing so much to go to school and we're being taught how much of a what are we learning? Like why is this such a privilege? Like what's the point of the school if we're not learning nothing? Like I graduated high school, and once I got into university, first day my English teacher says, "Okay, forget everything that you learned."
Yeah.
In high school. And I'm like, then what was the
why were we there the whole time?
Like, yeah, okay, I just learned how to have anxiety and addiction issues.
yeah, basically. I went to school with you for like 2 years, and
yeah,
I remember you. I think you caught on to the sort of some of the bullshit that was going on in the school.
I never really was one to take it too seriously.
Yeah, I remember a few things. But yeah, do you is there anything else you want to like say on like your school experience, your high school experience, or anything?
I mean, man, it was really a time. I guess. It was probably one of the loneliest times of my life, high school, right. I would say, though. Even though I was a very much social butterfly and I was very, I was friends with a lot of people and I could kind of fit into any group. Mm-hmm. Just like being able to fit into any group and having so many friends, you don't really have too many people that are your true friend in a sense.
Right.
And when shit goes down, a lot of those people turn their back, and a lot of people show that. So really, I was putting out so much energy to just be this party king or really get like the status of popularity that I was trying to chase. And really, like I growing up, I just learned that that ain't really worth nothing. Like I'm just going to stick to myself and people going to fuck with that if they like it or not. And like... now, I mean, I've seen I got 2,000 followers on Instagram, you know, my music in like a lot of plays. So like it's picking up, man. I don't got to be in all that bullshit or faking myself in order to move forward, you know.
It's good to hear that you learned that. And there's a lot of people out there that like who are like in their 50s that still don't even know.
Well,
shit.
Yeah.
Like know
at
like,
university,
being your real
self.
Man. Yeah.
At university, a lot of these people that I met my first year and that were all just stepping in like to like the party mode, like where they trying to impress everybody just that year, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like they haven't even started this shit yet, man. Like I try to tell as many like youth and as many people as I can, like don't go down the party ruin that, man. Like focus on work, focus on yourself, because that is going to take you away from everything, man. It's a hard, hard road to rebuild. You can do it, but you don't even want to have to be there, you know, if you don't have to be.
Absolutely. Those are good words of advice, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people in my university, too, just like they see university as an opportunity. Like, it's the first time a lot of people are away from their parents and stuff. Like, they see it as just an excuse to, like, just go wild, but it's not... That's not what it's meant for, you know? And it's not always the best option when you get
there. I joined a fraternity while in Halifax called Mu Omicron Zeta, the beta chapter in Halifax. And really, like, y'all would think that it would just be crazy party and all that, though. But this was, like, actually, like, a great brotherhood and was not, like, about all of the media, like, side that they tried to push. Or like what movies would try to push, or like just popular opinion would try to push. It was, it really helped me be able to focus. And even through those experiences, I've been able to come out with Flaco Finesse now by January 2020. I'm Flaco Finesse and I have my first music video and first song out. Now things are really putting out. But I wouldn't have been able to do that alone, really. I had to like be able to see how other people move and learn other things and learn, like people from different places, because there was people from Ontario in that group, Nova Scotia and all that, and learn just like, I guess, more about the world than just what I was living inside of Bathurst. And that really helped me feel like there is a world that I can branch out to. Like I'm not, all my views aren't just going to come to Bathurst and that no more, yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's like branching out from your comfort zone is the best lesson to get. Like,
yeah, facts.
No
yeah.
matter what happens to you, if you get like hurt in the process or if you succeed, you still learn something. Along the way, pain is the
we're
best,
always learning best yeah.
Yeah, teacher learner
felt the same way moving to Toronto too, like coming down from a city of like 40,000 people to like to like millions of people. It's like getting out of your comfort zones, like where the best growth happens, you know.
Yeah, and there's like so many eyes on you when you're walking out in the street, but then you kind of realize, oh wait, there's so many eyes on me, nobody care, and like,
yeah,
I don't gotta be freaked out.
Yeah, it's kind of freeing, you know. Like I find, I just in my experience from like where I grew up and then coming to a bigger place, like it seems like the smaller places, people always want to be more judgmental because there's less people to look at. As soon as you get to a place like this where there's millions of things going on, people, you can just be yourself because people aren't looking, you know?
People are too concerned about themselves and too caught up in their own shit to even care anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
and the thing with bigger places too, and even smaller places, is the concept of if you stand out more, then people are not going to have a choice but to, like, fuck with you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because they just going to be jealous. They're going to be mad that they can't do what you're doing. So you got to take the hate in that. But when you're able to stand out amongst a world of people that are just the same, that's like that's power in the end. That's like beautiful, you know? Like,
and don't take the hate personally, because it's really the hate is they're kind of projecting their insecurities onto you, really.
Yeah, man, like, in rapping that, like, I never get mad or nothing, but, like, if I gotta do a diss track, if somebody talking, if somebody talking weird, they're, like, you know, it's,
See what you gotta do, whip out the big guns, take them out back, hold yell at them. Yeah.
Because the thing with knowing everybody, too, is that you know a lot of things. So,
For sure.
Nobody wants smoke, usually, man. I got a few people who's talking down my name around here. But we fix that quick. I didn't off on the track.
Well, at least you are getting talked about, though, right? You know, it's better than no one saying shit, you know? Sometimes, like, any sort of... what's the word, like,
any publicity?
Any publicity is good publicity. In some cases, not all, but like you know.
I've always been trying to do stuff like this, even as early like in grade 10 there with the failed abortion school.
Hey, I was just going to talk about. I was talking to fucking Josh about that.
I learned about that last night.
That wasn't a fever dream in my head, right?
That was a crazy time. But we had shirts going. Like, I don't even know, like, the Instagram page where we just all hurt each other, like, hurt ourselves. Basically,
right,
like, and just do weird stuff. Like, we even made a skateboard out of a Guitar Hero PS2 controller. Man, we were just doing a bunch of crazy stuff and posting it, and people were loving it at school, man. It was going like viral.
I remember it.
So we were like, we gotta make merch. We had pillowcases, we had t-shirts. Like,
I remember the merch donations. Walking around. Yeah,
and then we got shut down, like, within, like, I think, like, 2 weeks by the school.
Yep. Shit sucks, man. But
we're there in the office saying it's four ambitious sapiens, not failed abortion squad. Who told you it's failed? For 2 hours, man, we're inside the office arguing.
Man, that school, they weren't too fond of you guys, but I think in the best way possible. If you're going to go out, you guys were going to go out with a bang.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, I'll probably never think about VHS ever again in my life. And it's like, I had a crazy time all there, and like, we made it fun, but just a lot of shit was just too serious for me.
Yeah.
A lot, like, I went overboard sometimes, but a lot of this stuff was, come on.
It's good to hear, man. I think one word from an outsider's perspective to describe about you would be, like, do it yourself. You make all the stuff, even since high school and stuff like that. Despite all odds, you just keep on doing it, and it's all you. You don't need anyone else to tell you how much it's good, and it shits flying, and people love it, and I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah, well, it's what you gotta do, man. I mean, we didn't grow up with much money, like, you know, and all that, so we had to make do with what we got, and I never really put a roof on my ceiling, really, you know? Learned how to go beyond anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for hopping on the show, man. It's been it was great talking to you. It's like the first time we've ever actually talked, so, you know, it's good to actually meet you, you know?
Yeah, man, it was a pleasure, man. We should just, like, hook up on a call sometime, man. Just shoot the shit there, like, sometime, man. Boys, don't be scared.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, Sounds good. Yeah.
And I think we forgot to mention, this is the first Populous podcast, like, since our, like, big hiatus. So you're kind of flagship in the next part of Populous podcast. So
yeah, yeah.
It's good to have you on that.
So where can the people find you? Where should they be looking to find everything in the world of Flacco?
I'm most active on Instagram. That's really where you're gonna find me, like, just living my day-to-day life and all my updates at Official Flacco Finesse on Instagram. Shout out to 506. Shout out Lanky Frankie. We got some more stuff coming, me and him. Also Bloom. I know I'll be having cigars, maybe a drink or two. Is you were featured on that one. That one was supposed to be on the deluxe, but I got another guy that's also hopping on the song, like, as a rapper, and still hasn't sent his verse, man. So, and I was like, okay, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna come out by the time of, like, deluxe. I can just put it with it. Like, it's cool, but still none yet. So, I don't want to just leave it empty. Or leave it with one verse.
Yeah.
So, but I got something else for it. There's another there's going to be a lot of EPs and mixtapes dropping between now and the next album. And it's on the next one. I made a perfect plan for it. It's going to fit perfectly.
I mean, no hard feelings, man. I figured, I just figured, like, oh, you just weren't satisfied with it or whatever. There was a mix up. But I'm glad, man.
We good. That's a vibe, that one, man.
Glad to hear. I'm glad it's coming out.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Flacco Finesse, for joining us tonight. On. Yeah. Hopefully we can hop you back on some point soon. You know. Keep the conversation moving. Next time you got another project coming up, we'll hook you up as always.
Yep.
All right. Dope. Hey, thank y'all. Shout out Populous. Shout out Bloom.
All right, guys. See you later.
Yeah, thank you. Take it easy, man. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, see ya.